to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Happy Friday, everybody. I'm happy to be back.
Kenny's back.
I'm turning microphones down because I'm about to blow my eardrums out. I was concerned listening to this morning. It sounded like I was expecting to come in and have this new display and not know what to do and say, oh, what does that button do? And the whole thing would go dead.
A glass panel.
So, yeah, it's good to be back. I don't like traveling as much as I used to, but it was a good trip. Did you miss me?
We did. I'll say we. I don't usually speak for everyone else, but I'm pretty sure there's at least a few more out there that would say we missed you.
Yeah, I made the mistake of checking my email while I was abroad and got hate mail from people.
About things I said?
No. It was about stuff I said.
Yes, son.
So
I can get some of those hate mails too.
Yeah. No, this one was all me. It was on me. So
but
what
you
happened?
Stand by it?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good.
I had a gunnery sergeant. And he said, "Never say things that you don't mean." So.
Well, I have something similar to that in my profession. It was don't ever put something in writing that you wouldn't be willing to see on a courtroom wall. There have been several times in my life where I really want to send this, but I'm just going to hold off. I'll give it the 24-hour rule.
No, that's a good rule, too. So what happened when I was gone?
Well,
besides,
you know,
it got super hot and the gas prices went up like $1.50 while I was gone.
Yeah, so what? How about gas prices over in Europe?
$13 a gallon. So
now, using what currency exchange rate?
No, that's if you calculate it, it's like $2.92 a liter.
Uh-huh.
And so they're 3.8 liters to a gallon, and then the exchange rate was about.
You're now way past Paso Robles math.
Okay. Well, I'm just telling you, that's why I just went straight for the $13 a gallon. But I can show you my homework, Mrs. Mrs. Stebbins, I can show you my homework to support my answer.
Show your work. And it was, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that was a lot of numbers. I love it.
Yeah. So $13 a gallon. Everybody drives around in those little smart cars, which we used to call stupid cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the two-seaters that look like...
Mr. Bean's car.
My Kawasaki mule is bigger than some of the cars I saw over there in Europe.
We drove a Cinquecento. I think is how they pronounce it, but it's a little Audi 500.
No,
and
I didn't
barely
see
those, oh my goodness. Yeah.
But no, it was a nice trip. We it was two very long days of travel. Got to Amsterdam. Visited Amsterdam for an afternoon. I'd never been there before. I'd been to the airport multiple times. It wasn't as bad as I expected. I had visions in my head of like druggies everywhere and prostitutes in windows, and I didn't see any of that, so it was good.
You were looking.
I was. I had these expectations that I had to, you know, either meet or not meet. But apparently, you're supposed to go into the coffee shops, and I didn't realize that. I was envisioning like, you know, some of the druggy stores around, you know, like San Francisco, where it's just buy drugs. No, there you have to go in and you get your cup of coffee. And
wink, wink.
And then you have to get the drugs or the pot with the coffee. So,
I see.
And I didn't go in and get any coffee, so I missed all that. But nice people. We got on a cruise there and sailed up the Rhine. Got to go see the Kinderjik windmills built in like 1500 and something. I was very impressed with the engineering of those things.
Are they still working and they're still operational?
Yeah.
And
they pump thousands of gallons an hour, just moving water from the floodplain into the river to drain it away. That was probably, I think, I being the geek that I am, I like the engineering stuff. Going through the locks on the Rhine was mm-hmm. probably another highlight, where we had to go through 11 locks to get from.
And what's the height differential?
It was about 22 feet.
Yeah.
And it takes you about 14 minutes to put the water in there mm-hmm. to float the boat up mm-hmm. to the next level. So you're basically stair-stepping from ocean level mm-hmm. up to Switzerland level. Mm-hmm. But we got to see cathedrals and...
How many castles? You counted them, right?
I did not. My wife did.
Okay.
She sat out in the cold rain, and after a night of going to Kolsch houses in Cologne, sat out in the cold rain the next morning, or pretty much all day, and got sick, and then wound up getting me sick. We did make it through customs on the way back. They didn't have one of those, they didn't have to scan
the
us.
The checklist, yeah.
But she counted them all. Hmm. I sat inside.
123.
I don't think it was that many.
614.
But we went to Koblenz, Strasbourg. Mm-hmm. Ended up in Switzerland, and then she and I got on a train and went up to Gruyère in the Freiburg canton of Switzerland, and there is a town there called Enni.
And, beautiful.
And ever since Ancestry.com came out, people's family histories have changed dramatically. All those, what your uncle Jim told you, when you look it up at the DNA, you're like, yeah, that's not right.
I'm not sure about that.
So before my uncle died, I started doing research, and we'll just say my uncle does not like French people. And unfortunately, the area where Enni is a French-speaking part of Switzerland. But fortunately for him, I learned that the Swiss are not ethnically German, French, or Italian. They're ethnically Romand, which I didn't even know was a people. And the languages that they developed, whether it was French-speaking, German-speaking, or Italian-speaking, was based off of where they traded. So the little small Italian-speaking part of Italy, they developed Italian because it was easier for them to trade into northern Italy, the same with the French and same with the Germans. So, but fortunately, we're not French.
But can you, as Switzerland is a country, can you actually be neutral?
Are the Swiss neutral? They are really the nicest people, but I would say they're neutral. Neutral, neutered.
I think as a people, they're very polite. And one of the reasons I think they're very polite is because their owning of firearms and operationally, that is something that they...
That's not required anymore. I asked that question.
Okay.
But it used to be when you got issued your FLN rifle when you served in the Swiss Army, you took it home. Apparently, that's not required anymore. You can if you want, but it's not required. It used to be required. That's the only place I saw any military was in Switzerland. And being a military guy, I wasn't impressed with them. hopefully, they don't get invaded. But good
time.
Now,
did you get to go to Scheveningen? I'm probably... brutality there, but with the language. But in Amsterdam, that town, city, whatever you might call it, was beautiful when I was there.
I don't know where that is.
Scheveningen, right outside The Hague.
Didn't get it.
Amsterdam. It's right on the water, and they have a beautiful boardwalk. It's very international.
No.
Okay.
The answer is no.
Sorry,
now,
you didn't.
I was the highlights of the trip I covered, the low points of the trip. Food was not that good. And so, you know, the cruise was nice. I liked the fact that you only had to unpack once, but you got to go to three different countries. And so everything is pretty easy for you. But they kept trying to make American food the first night. The first night they tried to do what they called a, I'm doing air quotes, a Texas brisket.
Ooh.
And it was not a Texas brisket. And, their
so
hamburgers.
When you go on a cruise, aren't you going to experience the different, you know, cuisines?
Yeah.
Well, or do they think that people can't really go out that far and experience?
We went out. We did a two excursions for dinner. One was the night in Cologne where we went to the Kolsch houses, and these are bars that are hundreds of years old and Kolsch style beer is a it's kind of a hybrid between a lager and a ale, but we went to those food was good, you know, traditional German food. You got to be real fast with covering your beer or they give you another one, so before you know it, they're, you know, you've finished your beer, it's halfway gone, and they've put another one right next to it. And then we went to a monastery. I think it was two nights later, maybe it was the next night. And it was an old monastery, and they had, I forgot the religious order, but we got the wine taste out of the barrels, 100-year-old Rieslings. That food was okay. Way too much salt.
Preservative.
I eat a lot of salt, but you know, this was like taking a tablespoon of salt half of the time. But beautiful venue. But yeah, the food was okay. It wasn't great. Even when we got to Switzerland, and you know, Gruyere is where they make the cheese, and the Gruyere cheese factory is right there. And we didn't do the fondue, but did quiche, and with which was the local, you know, they have quiche Gruyérien, and that was probably the best meal we had. But
and not chocolates.
We brought back probably about 5-6 pounds of chocolate, if not
did
more.
You declare that at customs?
We did, actually. Going through customs, I have to say, we came, it was a 24-hour travel day back, but we got to San Francisco, and TSA was not that bad. You know, we went through customs, considering these guys and gals aren't getting paid. I was very impressed. They were nice. You know, we got to customs, went right through. You know, do you have any food with you? We got chocolate.
Do you want some?
I'm like, no, that's okay. You can keep the chocolate. And but then we got to TSA, and the Swiss had entered the names wrong on our tickets, so I had to go back out.
A conspiracy.
Well, they put my wife's name down twice, so they looked at the name, even though my boarding pass had my name in the system. They had my wife's name twice, so they're like, "You're not Sharon." No, that's my wife. Well, you have to go back to United and get a new boarding pass. Well, the boarding pass says Kenneth, yeah, but it's not in the system, okay? So I had to go all the way back out. But the lines weren't that bad. The staff were very polite, you know, considering they're not getting paid. I was pleasantly surprised.
There is the possibility that they are understanding that at some point they will be paid.
Oh, yeah.
It's different than doing it out of the goodness of your heart, showing up at work every day, knowing that you will never get paid.
It's true. It's not charity work.
It's good to hear that people are business as usual, and you know, the payment part. I feel like there's a lot of things that I do that I don't get paid for. So,
like what?
I have my day job, and then I have about 5 other day jobs.
So yeah, sum up the trip. We were glad to get back. It reinforces my delight that we live in the United States and not Europe. Very crowded. I sensed that there was. I was surprised that there was more. There seemed to be an increase in national pride. you know, people wanted to highlight their local traditions and customs. Church, when we would go to the cathedrals, you know, a lot of young people in there. So those were positives. Nobody really wanted to, I had one or two people ask me about Iran, but it seemed to be a non-event. People are kind of focused on their own things there. And the demographics, when I had gone to Paris, which was my last vacation about 8 years ago, I was somewhat taken aback by the demographics in the city. There, when I was there, there were no ethnic French in Paris. And they were all Africans and North Africans. And in Germany, I didn't get that same sense. You see the Muslims, but it wasn't in a shockingly high number.
You weren't in any of the no-go zones?
Well, we weren't. But, you know, in Paris, they've surrendered arrondissement of the city there where they don't go. And apparently there are some towns in the Netherlands that way, and Germany has the same problem. But overall, there was... Maybe it's because my expectations were so low that I was pleasantly surprised. But it's a good trip. Glad to be back. Glad I'm an American. All I could think of when I was over there is there's no way I could live like these people.
Well, I've been very blessed to have traveled almost every continent, I guess, not Antarctica, but that's a whole different story. And every time it makes you realize how fortunate we are to have the United States of America, and coming back to it and trying to preserve and trying to stand our ground, mm-hmm. I guess, as you can say, you know, this country has a different principle than many of the countries in the world. And when you, the reason why people want to come here is about liberty. So the question is, we're in the... It's a republic if you can keep it. We're in the if you can keep it part, because what's been going on here, there, and everywhere is really about trying to preserve Western civilization, you might call it, but in the United States, especially the Constitution and the foundation of liberty.
Well, some of the conversations, you know, I'm sure you were listening to Kevin this morning, and... The conversation they were having this morning about having to pay for other people, that is just an accepted practice in Europe. And I was really kind of shocked at the mindset of some of the younger Europeans that I spoke with about quality of life, because it is expensive to live there. I mean, in the cities, you're talking about $3,000 to $4,000 a square foot if you want to buy a house. Now, San Francisco, we think, is pretty expensive, and that's about $1,000 a square foot. So this is, you know, 3, 4, 5 times higher if you want to live in the major metropolitan areas. Now, if you live out in the middle of nowhere, I guess it's a lot lower. But when you start talking to these young people, their mind immediately goes to where can I live and get the best universal base salary. So it's not, you know, they're not thinking about the high end. Where can I go where I have opportunity? They're thinking in terms of, well, and then I had this conversation in Strasbourg, which is in France. So it's one of the capitals of the EU, and you have the parliament there. Germany's right across the river, and then Switzerland's about an hour away. And they're all like, oh, we want to live in Switzerland because we don't have to pay the high taxes of the EU. And they have a higher base salary, and so we can make more money working there and then come back and live in subsidized housing in France or Germany. And that was, you know, the discussions they're having is, I'm like, that's completely alien to, you know, in my opinion. I would hope, maybe I'm completely out of touch, but I would hope most young Americans are thinking, well, I'm going to go to this place because that's where the opportunity is,
right,
to, you know, go up, you know, rise up the ladder. Here it wasn't. It was just, where can I get basic sustenance? And it was really kind of sad, in my opinion. But that was probably the most enlightening thing I took away when I looked at the culture over there. So,
Well, welcome back. And we have Open Mic Friday. And I did want to make sure that everyone understands that we want to talk about what you want to talk about. So,
yep, I'm done talking about Europe.
I wasn't saying that. But after the break, please feel free to call in. Let us know what's on your mind. And we'll go from there.
And the phones work.
Yes, we'll see. Okay, thanks.
I'm not usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location, Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616 or go online, DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
All right, this is probably a good point to remind everybody that our views do not reflect the views of KPRL or Kevin Will or anybody else based off of what was just discussed over the break. But Darsh, I'll let you kick it off.
Well, we were talking about the Republic, if you can keep it. So I still go back to Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution that says that the federal government, the United States, shall guarantee to every state three things. One, a Republican form of government. Two, freedom from invasion. And three, protection against domestic violence. So what I think we're seeing in other parts of the country, we can have kind of a national focus, and then we'll move to maybe a state focus and a local focus. But please call in any time to change this conversation, because Kenny,
we may need it,
does not necessarily agree with my take on this.
I'm just interested in how we got back to that Article 4, Section 4 when I was talking about Iran. But
yes, so my understanding is that there are military-aged men that have come from Iran to and through Venezuela and up and through.
Thank goodness there's a caller.
Oh, good.
Go ahead, caller. Thank you.
Hey, when you get a chance, can you tell the story of how we discovered there were privacy barriers in the boys' locker room, and that seemed to maybe be a solution to the girls? It seems like somebody should have figured that out a while ago.
That's a good.
Thank you for asking.
Thank you for saving us.
I'll listen. And all the other subjects, too.
All right.
Love you. Thank you.
Bye. Wow, that was perfect timing. So the last board meeting, which was, what was that, the 24th of, the last school board meeting was the 24th of February. And we successfully found out, the board didn't take any action in a somewhat cowardly way, but as it turned out, no action was required because back in 2024, the previous superintendent had authorized construction of privacy stalls in the boys' bathroom because you had a questioning boy who was uncomfortable undressing in front of other boys. And so what angers me, and I'll probably keep bringing this up at board meetings until I get an answer, but those young ladies, or those brave young ladies, from October up until February 24th kept asking the board and the staff, you know, do something so we don't have to undress in front of boys. And nobody said a word. And so I'm throwing ideas out. You know, let's get trailers. Let's build privacy.
I like the portable trailer option.
And crickets. Nobody says anything. And then on the Monday before that board meeting, so that would have been February 23rd, I had asked to go and take a tour of the locker rooms and walked into the boys' locker room and I see these privacy stalls. I'm like, well, why don't we do that in the girls' bathroom? How long have we had these? Oh, for 2 years now. And why hasn't anybody brought this up? I would think that if I were a staff member making six figures a year, and I heard the board, you know, at each other's throats, and I heard these poor girls tearfully asking for some sort of privacy, one would think that a professional making six figures a year would say, you know what? We got privacy stalls in the boys' bathroom. Why don't we just do that? And we could be done with this in a couple of days. Cricket, cricket, cricket. Nobody said a word. And that really angers me. I think it was malicious on the part of the staff for withholding
that. Disgusting.
And I think it was probably manipulative because if you look at the bond measure that they're proposing, one of the things they wanted to highlight was we can redo the bathrooms. Well, you don't need whatever we're up to, $22 million, $180 million, whatever it is. You don't need that much money to build privacy stalls. So that's the privacy stall story. I'll try to stretch it out to avoid going back to Article 4, Section 4. But there is some good news.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, there is a lot of good news here in the last week since I've been gone on the parental rights issues and also the boys and girls sports issues. And so some people will recall that I've mentioned many times the Mirabelli versus Olson case, which were the two teachers that sued because they were fired for not being willing to lie to parents. About students transitioning. And that case was settled by Judge Roger Benitez back in December when he just slammed the state of California. And the state of California, and basically if you read the decision, it is vicious. He goes after Newsom and Bonta and Tony Thurman and talks about the trifecta of harm that these policies have inflicted on children in the state of California. Well, and the bottom line was you can't lie to parents. Well, state of California said, oh, well, yes, we can. We're going to appeal this. And that's when the Supreme Court the U.S. Supreme Court on the 2nd of May or 2nd of March, rather, stepped in and said, no, you can't. 6-3 decision. They jumped in and said, no, you can't do this. California still appealed back to the Ninth Circuit. Not obviously understanding civics, and Supreme Court is higher than the Ninth Circuit.
Back to the Constitution.
And the Ninth Circuit said, yeah, sorry, the Supreme Court's already spoken, idiot. So we'll get more on that.
Truth and sanity
I'll do everything
prevail.
I can to keep us off the Article 4, Section 4 topic. All right, long break. We'll be back shortly.
Please call in.
AM AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.